Roland
Martin. You probably say, come on, give me a break. Move on, guys.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. Start your day with TV One's News One Now, the only daily news show that looks at issues from our perspective. Today, Roland Martin talks to Dedrick Muhammad of the NAACP about banking practices. From Washington, D.C., did they shut the government down yesterday, Roland?
Actually, folks, it was sort of optional. They had a half day and lots, of course, snow on the ground today. And so the temperature right now is minus 7. That's what it feels like. Outside right now, and so it was easy coming in to work because many of the federal workers are not going to be at work today. So the cold.
That's too bad because you know the government gets such a bad grade for not being able to operate.
And so the people who can work from home, they're the ones who definitely still got to work, but it's a play date for everybody else. Tom, stunned, shocked, whatever you want to call it, the people in Charlotte this morning, where a grand jury sent back a decision to try an officer who shot and killed the former Florida A&M football player on a lesser charge than manslaughter. This is stunning because when this particular officer, Randall Carrick, when he was involved in the shooting, death of Jonathan Farrell. The police chief there in Charlotte, they saw the video and they immediately charged him. They said there's no way in the world he should have fired 12 shots with his semi-automatic weapon, that Farrell was just a few feet away. And of course, earlier this officer had been out and had been drinking, although at the time of the shooting, they said he was not intoxicated. But the grand jury met and they said, charge him with a lesser charge. Well, they're trying literally the prosecutors are trying to figure out what the hell is a lesser charge.
Okay, so the family's attorney is on the phone, Roland.
Chris Chestnut.
Yes, Chris. Good morning.
Chris,
how are you?
Doing great. You're also there with Jonathan's mother, correct?
No, it's just the attorney.
Okay. So Chris, what is the family's reaction to this grand jury decision when the police chief saw the tape and felt there was enough evidence to charge this officer?
You know, the family is devastated, dismayed, disappointed, but also just suspicious of the process. First of all, Officer Carrick could have been charged via probable cause hearing, which would have been public last year, and we were promised that. They broke the promise. The police chief promised that they would release the tape, the dash cam tape, so that the world could see this shooting. They broke the promise. They've released the redacted recordings of the 911 tape that go to basically impugn Mr. Farrell, but yet they won't release the dash cam tape. And so now we go to a grand jury in 2015 when this happened in 2014 when this happened in 2013. And the grand jury is a secret process. So we don't know what evidence they presented to the jury. But what we do know is that there were three officers present that night. Of the three, two didn't shoot. Only one shot. The only officer that shot was Officer Carrick. He emptied the clip, and 10 of those bullets went into Jonathan Farrell, and all of the bullets were at a downward angle, meaning that Jonathan Farrell was on the ground when he was shot. So he wasn't posing a threat to harm to Officer Carrick or any of the other officers at the time he was shot.
Okay,
for folks
Roland,
who don't know, Farrell was in an accident that night. He was in an accident. He had to kick out his car window to get out of the car. He was hurt. He went to a neighbor's home, knocked on the door. This very much sounded like the Renisha McBride case in Detroit.
Yeah.
He began to knock on the door very loudly. No one answered. They called the cops. And so then when he walked away, then all of a sudden the cops drove up and he began to approach the cops. The cops say he began to run towards them. And then that's when they fired a stun gun. It missed. And then Carrick pulls his weapon out and fires 12 times, as Chris said, striking Farrell 10 times.
Now, what area of town in Charlotte was this?
He's in a remote suburb north of Charlotte, so it's dark roads, not well guarded. So he missed a turn and went off of an embankment. And so he was pinned down in a ravine. So cell phones on the floor, et cetera. So he literally he walked half a mile back trying to find help from anyone.
Right.
And when he finally saw the police, I saw the video. I've seen the video. He's running towards him like, finally, I'm relieved. And then he sees a taser pointed at him. And so he kind of sticks his hands in front of him like, hey, wait. And there are no commands. No commands, no warning, no identification. They just start shooting.
Now, of course, according to the cops, they hollered three times, get down, get down, get down. He didn't heed their calls. But also, Chris, the grand jury is supposed to have – grand jury has 18 members. They need a minimum of 12 to issue an indictment. The prosecutors say they are surprised. They're trying to figure out why all 18 were not hearing this case.
I agree. Jonathan Farrell doesn't deserve a fraction of justice. He doesn't deserve a fraction of a grand jury, nor does he deserve a fraction of the evidence.
Did they say how they could convene this without the 18?
They can, but, you know, equally concerned is look, if they can't convince half a grand jury, I'm concerned now they can't convince all the grand jury. So more people won't help if you can't convince two people. How can you convince four?
So where do you go from here?
Well, we filed a civil lawsuit. And frankly, they didn't even announce the grand jury until after the day we filed a lawsuit. So that's why we're so suspicious. We're going to propound discovery on our own. We're going to take depositions on our own. It's not interrogatory. We're going to get our own justice. And we're going to continue to try and highlight this.
Chris, the prosecutors there, they have not decided. First of all, they have not responded, have not decided whether they're going to refile the original voluntary manslaughter charge or a lesser offense. I mean, what in the heck is the lesser offense? Right. Wrongfully discharging a weapon? I mean, what's lesser?
And just to highlight this, let me just give you the succession of shots. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, pause. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, pause. 1, 2. That's how he shot. So it's not like he was afraid and it was just a quick shot and emptied the clip. I mean, he had time. He paused and thought about this as he was doing it. There's no lesser included. In fact, I think manslaughter is below sufficient. This needs to be murder.
According to the Charlotte Observer, Steve Ward, who worked for 25 years under the DA, said he's never heard of a grand jury requesting a lesser charge. He also says in their story that of the thousands of cases his office sent to a grand jury every year, only a few came back without indictments. He's saying, I'm talking about less than 10 a year, unquote.
Right. Like my grandma used to say, something in the milk ain't clean.
Jonathan Farrell had moved to Charlotte about a year earlier to be there with his fiance in a car accident. He's hurt, injured, thought the cops were there to help him. He ends up dead. And now the grand jury says a lesser charge. Christian.
Roland Martin's commentary is brought to you by TV One.